ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
You're the first Bull to post two straight double-doubles since Michael Jordan in 1988-89. What's your reaction to that?
No, it's cool. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, lie about it and say it's not cool. But, you know, as I said, I think all the individual stuff comes as a byproduct of winning and being a part of, you know, a very, very fun team to play with. And, you know, I love these guys that I get to go out there and compete with, and they make my job very easy.
Anytime you are being compared to Michael Jordan, you assume things are probably going pretty well. That's been happening for Josh Giddey the last week, with the Australian lighting up the NBA with the Chicago Bulls. It does not seem like a coincidence that he is flying after they backed him in with a monstrous contract after previously appearing a little gun-shy. The caveat is that the season is still young. So just how carried away can we get? You know we like to get carried away. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Kane Pittman is ESPN's US-based hoops reporter. He knows a thing or two about a thing or two. He's going to share them with us. Kane, just how well is Australia's Josh Giddey playing right now?
Yeah, good to chat to you again, mate. And I believe we did a bit of a season preview and we discussed what Giddey could do, but I don't think the start could have been predicted that it would be this strong from the team, but also him. The Bulls, as we do this chat, are 6-1, their best start in a very, very long time. And Giddey looks like an all-star to start the season. So he's playing at a high level. There's a lot that contributes to that. The Bulls' backcourt has been injured, so there is a lot of responsibility on him. He is playing big minutes, but you still got to deliver, and you still got to help your team win.
Carter sets up a screen. Giddey races to the basket, fires it out. Vucevic the shot.
Gucci Mane steps up again. The grizzled veteran steps up and hits the biggest shot of the season.
Watch this place come unglued.
Oh, my goodness. And watch Josh Giddey. I mean, he has to throw that between two defensive players to make that pass, and that was on the money.
I've been around the team a little bit the last couple of weeks, been to three games, and the vibes are high. These young guys are loving playing alongside each other, and Giddey's really taken a leadership role, so it's been fun to see.
We know that he is an elite passer, an incredibly complete player. The knock on him at times has been shooting. Are we seeing that climb in the early stages of this NBA season?
Yeah, we have a little bit, and it's always interesting to me, and you're right. There's so many young players that come out of college now, while for Giddey, it was coming out of the NBL Next Stars program, and the question is always about their shooting, and it's always fascinating to me the idea that a guy that when Giddey was perhaps not shooting the ball so well, 20 years of age, 21 years of age, that they can't get better or they're not going to develop.
Vucevic set up a screen for Giddey, draws Bona, and rolls it in. That was Australian rules right there.
Everything that we've learned about Josh Giddey and the way that he has rapidly risen his stocks in the basketball world, he's a hard worker. And I did ask him about his shot last week when I was in Chicago and perhaps why he's seen that he feels more confident on the floor. And he did tell me that it wasn't always the case for him. It was a little bit of a challenge, and he shot the ball well to end the last season, but over the offseason, a lot of it was mental. He said that sometimes he would get in his head, he would miss a couple of threes in a row, and then rather than going through his shooting motion, his shooting mechanics, he would start to aim the ball at the basket a little bit and almost shot put it rather than following through. So he told me that he looks at the numbers, he looked at the best shooters in the world and said, hey, if they're shooting 40%, that means they're missing 6 out of every 10 shots. So yes, some nights I'm going to shoot 1 for 5. Other nights I might hit 3 of 5, 4 of 6. And that's just going to be the nature of a long NBA season.
It's Giddey on Grimes. To the hoop. Full set.
It's Giddey time.
Play game.
Josh Giddey time.
So for him, it's been a lot of mental preparation and probably maturing and understanding that the NBA is challenging. Shooting isn't easy every single night, even for the best guys.
A question I think some people have is why the hot start might have happened. I mean, I know that the Bulls were initially reluctant to hand him that 4-year US $100 million extension. And I just wonder, the fact that they did make the jump, has that given Giddey an elevated level of self-belief in his own game, that the franchise believes in him and now he can believe in himself too?
Yeah, so the contract stuff was interesting because everything that we've heard out of Chicago since they traded for him, and remember, they traded Alex Caruso, who was an important player for their team and a player that had value. It was a one-for-one trade, player for player, and you really don't see that without draft picks being involved. And Billy Donovan spoke about it the other night. He said, look, we had an idea of the style of basketball we wanted to play, and we believed that Josh fit that.
But overall, he has played downhill. He's gotten to the free throw line, and he's done a really, really good job of generating easy baskets for people around him.
So I don't think it was ever that the Bulls didn't like Josh Giddey or they didn't think he would be a part of his future plans. It was just a really, really tough offseason for restricted free agency. There was no one that had the cap space to really bid for Josh Giddey to push the Bulls to pay him a little bit more. They've got a bunch of free agents on their roster that they're going to have to make decisions about later this year, including a number of their young players, Io Desumu, Kobe White, as well. So look, the contract situation would have been stressful. I asked Josh that exact same question last week when we were in Chicago, and he told me that it was more about understanding that now that the team could tell him that, hey, we think you're a part of the future. But when they lay down $100 million guaranteed over the course of 4 years for a 23-year-old, then again, mentally, you walk away saying, okay, I'm wanted here. I'm loved here. This team believes in me.
You get confidence from, you know, your teammates and your coaches believing in you and trusting you to make plays. And, you know, I'm very, very grateful and thankful for them that they put me in positions to be successful.
And that does play a big toll on his mental ability to play stress-free. And that's why I do laugh a little bit. I see a little bit of conversation online about, will he turn this contract into a bargain? And should he have waited and not signed this contract and played for the qualifying offer, which was around $11 million? But I just kind of laugh at that because, one, he's 23 years old. He's got $100 million US dollars guaranteed. He's going to be a free agent when he's 26 years of age. So if he continues to play this way, money ain't going to be a problem for Giddey and the Giddey family. That's for damn sure. And then the other part of it is that we can't quantify, but only he knows, is how much it has been a stress relief for him and boosted his confidence by signing this deal. So overall, I think great business for both parties.
As we said, only seven games into this season, but the comparisons to Michael Jordan following the back-to-back triple-doubles, that is catnip for Australian hoops fans, Kane. I don't think anyone is expecting, you know, MJ to be the ceiling for Josh Giddey, but as you say, 23 years of age, what are we seeing is his trajectory right now? How high could that ceiling be, do you think?
Yeah, triple-double stats are interesting, and that does look great on paper anytime you compare it to Michael Jordan, particularly for a Chicago franchise that is just absolutely desperate for success. The fan base is a little bit jaded. They want this team to win a stack of games.
The Bulls run out!
Game time! Game time! Big-time players make big-time plays. Josh Giddey, Fucci Maine, the Red Dazzler. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Bulls Nation, they're for real.
But it also shouldn't be ignored. I mean, it's not like he's putting up empty stats on a team that's not winning. It's only very early, and there's some shooting luck, you know, both good for the Bulls and bad for their opponents, that is probably contributing to this a little bit. So we'll see how it all shakes out and where they fit in the pecking order. But he's still putting up the numbers, and he's still shooting the ball really well. And at this point in time, he is playing like he could be an all-star player this year in the Eastern Conference for that world team in LA come February.
And now rebound for Herter. The Bulls are running. It's Giddey on the attack. Off the glass. What a shot by Giddey.
Get Giddey with it, Josh.
Look, I don't know where the Bulls fit, but Giddey is certainly starting to really once again show what he showed as a rookie in Oklahoma City when they put the ball on his hands. The big question moving forward is, how does that relate to a team that hopefully at some point gets to a contender status? They're nowhere near that point yet. But I think he's once again proving to everyone that, yeah, I can play basketball. I got squeezed out of a weird situation in Oklahoma City with a team that went on to win the title. But he's a real NBA player and you know, trending towards, you know, being one of Australia's greats.
You talked about the Bulls there. Let's double click on that and zero in. You obviously are based in the United States. You understand the industry better than most. How is that industry reacting to the Bulls start? Well, what's the expectation around what they might do? Because I don't think many would have had them as a 6-1 start to the season.
Yeah, definitely very skeptical. And it's interesting if you look at their schedule to start the season, because they've beaten a bunch of teams that I think people probably had a little bit higher. So they beat Detroit. They went ahead and beat Dyson Daniels and the Atlanta Hawks pretty comfortably, even though the Hawks have got some injury concerns themselves. They beat the New York Knicks. They also lost to them, but they beat the Knicks. And then, of course, yesterday we saw them beat Philadelphia, who are at the top of the East, or were at the top of the East at that point in time. So they've beaten a lot of teams that are kind of in that mix.
I think it was a great test tonight to see how we responded after our first loss in New York, and unbelievable resilience by the group to come out the second half the way we did. And, you know, down 20, 25, would have been easy to throw the towel in and, you know, call it a night, get ready for the next one. But credit to the guys.
I think most people that have covered this game for a very long time understand that you're 6-1. That's great. But there is still 75 games left in the regular season and 4.5 months of regular season play. And a lot of things can change. You get into winter over here, Chicago's freezing. You got to jump on those planes and travel all over the US. So, yeah, look, I think everyone's been impressed. The biggest conversation I'm having with people when I go to these games is that people are just honestly looking and saying, hey, the Chicago Bulls are really fun to watch. We haven't said this in 5, 6, 7, 8 years. They've been a boring team. They've been full of veterans. They've been absolutely middle of the pack with no real ceiling to go above that. So I think the most important thing is that the Bulls are just fun to watch again, and we haven't said that for a long time.
The Bulls aren't the only team in the NBA. Josh Giddey is not the only Australian in the NBA. Who are some of the other names that have been excelling in the early stages of the season that you've been most drawn to, Kane?
Yeah, Dyson Daniels. I've had the pleasure to see him play live a couple of times early in the season as well. And obviously last year's most improved player, you could make the case he could have been the defensive player of the year. And he's a year younger than Josh Giddey as well. He's only 22 years of age. He signed the identical extension, 4 years, $100 million. And the big question for Dyson is, what does the offensive game look like?
Daniels, beautiful spin and the finish.
Atlanta, a team with high expectations. They've been a little slow out the gate, 4-4 as it currently stands. And their all-star guard, Trae Young, is out of this lineup for the next month with an MCL injury to his knee. Now, what that does mean is that Dyson and the young core of this Atlanta team is getting an opportunity to handle the ball a little bit more, get a few more shots in the offense. And what we have seen over the last four games is Dyson's game has really lifted on the offensive end from a bit of a cold start, particularly missing a lot of shots around the basket. So the last four games, he's around 16 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists per game. Really, really nice numbers. And this, is a fun Atlanta team to watch. So Dyson, we know he's a great talent. We know that his best basketball is going to be in the next 4 or 5 years, not necessarily this year. But you've got to be really impressed with what you've seen over the last week or so.
Kane Pittman from ESPN, appreciate your time. Thanks, mate.
Mate, anytime.
Headlines. Nick Kyrgios reckons he's on the comeback trail. The former Wimbledon finalist is presently ranked 692 in the world, and he hasn't been able to get his body right, principally his knee. The 30-year-old reckons he's had a breakthrough. He told AAP, "I don't know whether to call it a miracle or anything, but my knee feels like it's gotten younger by a couple of years." Here's a little more.
"Honestly, I feel confident. You know, I'm able to train fully on the court now, and you know, I'm probably as best I've felt physically in a long, long time."
This is generally the time of year we get a Kyrgios story, mind you. Previous versions include a minority stake in a basketball team, threatening retirement, joining OnlyFans. Whether or not this is a grab for attention remains to be seen. He is slated to play women's world number one Aryna Sabalenka in about a month in a kind of battle of the sexes clash. We might get a look at his form then. Speaking of injury comebacks, Pat Cummins appears surprisingly upbeat about his chances of playing a big role on the Ashes. We know the skipper's out of the opening test, but the quick says he's hopeful of playing in the second fixture in Brisbane.
"We're building out a plan to be right for the second test. So if nothing goes wrong, then that's kind of the plan. There's obviously a few other variables. You know, if the boys are absolutely flying and I'm a little bit underdone, well, maybe, you know, you make a little bit of a call a bit closer. At the moment, kind of all options are open. It's all training pretty well."
Apparently, he's bowling up to speeds of 115 to 120 k's an hour already, so he's nearing maximum pace. If you want a breakdown of the 15-man squad who has been selected for the Perth opener, we spoke to ex-coach and ABC commentator Darren Lehman on the podcast yesterday. He was great. Insightful, honest, calls it as he sees it. Excellent. Scroll back, take a listen. Good news for Eli Katoa, with a Tongan international out of intensive care and moved to a different part of the hospital in Auckland. If you missed it, the Storm forward suffered a series of sickening head knocks in the game with New Zealand. These incidents have NRL fans asking whether enough's being done on concussion, and we broke it all down earlier in this week. It's in the feed if you want to understand that story better. Finally, Australia's Winter Olympics uniforms dropped. The opening ceremony numbers actually have a bit of a nautical theme to them. Crisp white jackets, navy pants, cable knit jumpers. Ahoy there. Apparently, the linings of the jackets have the names of every Aussie athlete who has competed inside. The lucky few who have won gold are written in gold. That's just six names. Stephen Bradbury, Alyssa Camplin, Dale Begg-Smith, Tora Bright, Lydia Lasilla, and Jakara Anthony. Will we get a seventh in Milan? The getting around the slopes uniform is kind of what you'd expect. I'm talking green ski pants, yellow slash gold ski jackets, and that concludes our sports fashion hit for the day. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Jason Ford. Thanks to the NBA and Channel 7 for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.